Welcome on Orthodox Academy's podcast. Learning more about today's science with Jeanne Laperouse and our guests. Have a good listening.
Welcome to this episode of Orthodox Academy podcast dedicated to the 3R centers across Europe. Today we are with Jessica Johansson, working for the Swedish 3R centers as operation manager. Hello, Jessica. Thank you for being with us today.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me.
The Swedish 3R centers was created in 2016, right? In Sweden. Am I correct?
In 2016, we got the financial support from the government, which in the first batch lasted until 2020. So the center by itself was manifested in November 2017. So we are coming up now for our 5-year anniversary.
So, and what is the history of the centers? Is the following up the adoption of the directive for the protection of animal purposes in Europe?
It is an effect of the directive, but it is also a core commitment from our government to actually highlight these questions and to enhance the development of the 3Rs to develop science even further in Sweden.
The Swedish National Committee for the Protection of Animal Use for Scientific Purposes is the steering committee of the 3Rs. What is its role? Who are the agencies and stakeholders represented in this committee, and how does it work?
Well, as a physical base, we belong to the Swedish Board of Agriculture, but our steering group is an external group that actually decides what we are going to do, how we are going to do it, and when we are going to do it. And the National Committee, it's our chief of the committee, belongs to the Board of Agriculture and also one of the members. But the other 14 members are either part of the research industry in the way that they are in the facilities in universities that actually do research, both with animals and also researchers that are 100% replacement. We also have businesses. We have the Swedish organization for research, that is RISE, that is also a Netval laboratory. We have animal rights organizations. We have the life science industry branch organization with us. So it is a very diverse group with diverse knowledges and core tasks in their daily work, but they come together to actually involve everyone in all the 3Rs.
And what are your mission? What are you doing at the 3R centers every day to promote the 3Rs?
The most important task we have is to create a neutral arena for all the people that are working within science and the 3Rs to actually have a spot, a place to meet, where you can meet in a neutral manner. And that includes as well governmental agencies in Sweden that are directly or indirectly involved in animal testing. So that's the most important thing, that we are supposed to be neutral. We are supposed to work with all the 3Rs. Then we are also going to disseminate information regarding all the 3Rs, because that will also enhance the development of the 3Rs further. So those are the two core missions we have. And then we have side missions as well, side effects that are coming out of this.
For instance, you are working on the strategy for the replacement of animal in Sweden. What are the results so far of the work that you are doing on this strategy? And is there any agenda? When are we expected to see it?
Well, hopefully rather soon. And that does not mean the beginning of 2022, but I would believe maybe in springtime next year. What we do is actually, at the moment, we are gathering the information from all the different stakeholders to be able to find a strategy that actually works, that can unite us, and that can bring science forward in these questions. So at the same time, we also identify where more support is needed to be able to enhance these questions and what the obstacles are. And those ones we also start working with at the same time. And that is to make sure that we have a consensus to move forward with a policy once we have it in place.
And so far, what are the obstacles that you have identified?
Time. That is always an obstacle. People that are working with animal models today, and also people that are working with animal-free models today, both of them have issue with time to receive the information that they need to progress in the questions of 3 hours. So time for our researchers, for the ones that are active, that is one of the obstacles. Then there are also sometimes misconceptions about what has to be done and what can be done. Then also the 3 hours or the replacement area works, to say, in one corner, and then in the other corner you have the animal models. And they also have to have the ability to actually learn and have the time to learn from each other and to progress together to evolve in the 3 hours.
And when it comes to incentivize research and the adoption of alternative methods, what are the outcome of your research so far?
We don't, at the 3R Center, we don't perform research. What we do is actually compile it. We highlight other people's scientific result that is of importance for the 3Rs. So any kind of research that is better for the animal welfare, because as long as you have animal welfare and you have top-notch facilities that take good care of their animals, also the scientific result is better. And then we try to enhance the replacement question by actually educating on how it can be used. Because it's something new. The animal model's been with us for a very long time. It's very easy to understand for someone who isn't involved with research what an animal model actually is doing. But even for scientists, it's difficult to understand what the and how the animal-free models actually produce a result that can be used in a product later on.
Before the adoption of the EU directive on the protection of animal for scientific purpose, what was the legislation like in Sweden, and what has changed in the adoption of this directive?
Sweden were enhanced. I must say, we were progressive in animal welfare already before the directive. So when it came to the animal welfare perspective for the animals in trials, not many changes were made. But what was made was the animal welfare bodies, that became a very important part, and also the channel that we work through to meet the organizations, and then statistics and the transparency of science. Those were the three core changes that Sweden went through for the directive.
There is a reporting on the number of animal use for scientific purposes, right? That is what's published in 2019. By the European Commission. Another one is coming up, right, at the end of this year, probably?
Yes, you have the yearly statistics, and then you also have a five-year report. And then also the Commission did a pilot a couple of years ago where they actually checked whether each member state implemented the directive correctly as well.
But the definition of animal use for science is different in Sweden as compared to the definition that we have in the EU directive. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes, the directive is more narrow in the sense of what animals that goes into the statistics and need an ethical approval. In Sweden, we look at what the animal is actually used for. We don't look at whether it will be suffering or not suffering. If an animal is exposed to a human for the sole purpose of knowledge and for science, we will call them an animal used for scientific purposes. Then there might be animals that are excluded from an ethical approval. But we have fish, for example, that is used for regulatory purposes when we gather all the data for the EU for the environmental impact. That is actually ethically approved in Sweden. So we have a broader definition, a lot more animals that are actually falling within the spectrum of the three R's in Sweden than there are in other member states.
The different committee for the protection of animal use for scientific purposes are, since this directive, working together at EU level. What is the structure of this cooperation? At what stage are you? What are you doing?
The European national committees, we actually call them the European, so not the EU, because we have, it's European, it's not only member states. It started up as an initiative from the Netherlands to gather all the national committees to enhance the work and to help each other to get the interest up and the progress in these questions going faster. So the committees met three times so far. It was the startup in the Netherlands, and then the second meeting was in Stockholm, and that was 2019. And then they agreed on the name, so they are called the EU-NC Network. They also agreed on how the meetings should progress and how we could help each other out. Then we had the third meeting a couple of months back, and then Germany was the host, and that was a digital meeting, so we couldn't meet physically. But on the other hand, that enabled all the national committees to actually get the possibility to cooperate and to take part in the meeting, because also the national committees across Europe have different opportunities. In some countries and some member states, they are there on a voluntary basis, pretty much. They are not getting paid to be there. And then you have organizations like Sweden and the National Committee that is a steering group and actually has a 3R center beneath them that help them and service them and promote the 3Rs. So therefore, this was actually the first meeting now in Germany when the national committees agreed on to cooperate and to start working more on an expert level to enhance the questions. And then it was the antibody question that needs to be thoroughly worked through and disseminated out of all the member states' different stepping stones that they have to work through.
The European Commission has announced the Green Deal, and with the objective to reach a zero pollution ambition. What do you think will be the place of the NAMs, the new approach methodologies, in the Green Deal?
I believe that they will be very important. Also because of the fact that ECVAM is working hard to make sure that new methods can be pushed forward. And a lot of the testing that is done for the environmental impact can be done in laboratories, not using animals. So the methods are partly becoming more needed due to the fact that we want to make sure that we do not impact the environment more than necessary as humans by traveling and using chemicals, etc. And then secondly, we can also use those methods to actually prove that they are working. So we are getting more and more examples of the fact that these methods are reliable and we can rely on them as humans. They are scientifically sound So two effects, more methods and also more data on the methods. So the plan has an impact on the three R's. So, and we can also support the environmental progress in Europe by using these new methods.
What will be the place of artificial intelligence and data?
Oh, it will be important. We've seen that now in the pandemic. We've seen the importance of the calculations that are done artificially and how we are using AI to make sure that we have a better data to make decisions for when to open and close societies, etc., and how the virus is spreading. And it will have the same impact also when it comes to taking care of the environment. So there are so many different techniques that are developed within AI, both for medical use and also for environmental. It will have a massive impact, but it's a new industry, and it isn't, you know, AI 15 years ago wasn't anything we learned about in school. It wasn't anything we used. We couldn't really grasp it. But now it is a part of our ordinary lives. Everyone is using AI in one way or the other, whether we are aware of it or not. And it will be the same thing for the scientific results.
What other breaking through technology do you observe in your daily work in Sweden?
Currently, we're working on movies to explain what mathematical methods, calculations actually can do and how they can replace certain trials for products that are supposed to reach the market, and how it can enhance and evolve also the speed in creating new medical advances. Then there are projects for when you are supposed to, for example, count fish for the EU reporting. There they are using artificial intelligence. So it will really make a difference. But sometimes I believe that the AI scientists don't understand the impact they can actually have on medical evolution and how data and whatever they are producing in their research actually might be able to be used in a laboratory and might replace an animal model. So we have to learn to talk to each other, but it's different languages.
You mentioned the medical field, the medical studies. There are many technologies, the precision medicine, that are not using animal in research, but are not always considered as alternative. It seems that precision toxicology and precision medicine are matching, but how are these different actors working together in that direction? Is there any cooperation there?
Corporations are using it. In Sweden, the medical industry are very, very keen on using the new technologies. They are cooperating with universities to both to share their data with scientists to be able to develop new methods and more precision data. And also universities by themselves and corporations are doing their own research of how we can evolve the process of finding different methods. So for the commercial industry in Sweden, when they go into animal trials, they've gone through quite a lot of animal-free methods and precision calculations and tests in laboratories to make sure that everything is correct and that they actually only go with as few as possible different scenarios into an animal trial. But to be able to get there, they have to both have the data and the scientific proof that they are really going for only the core and the best methods that are to be tested and the products that are most prone to actually success. So they are working strongly together with the universities, and the universities are themselves also working very hard to get the data that is necessary to be able to develop the animal-free methods, and in particular the precision methods.
What do you think is needed today to push forward to the adoption of this alternative methods?
More data, more time. We have to be humble for the fact that when animal methods arrived, they were not in the same manner as they are today. They have evolved with time, and we learned more. Animal welfare for trial animals were not on the agenda many years ago. Now it is one of the core things. If you are supposed to be a reliable scientist with animal methods and models, you make sure that you get the best care for your animals, because you know that it correlates. But it's taken time to get to that point. And it is the same thing for the animal-free methods. They have to be used. They have to be tested. We have to validate them. We have to compare them in between each other. So animal-free methods that are compared towards each other, we have to compare them to other methods as well. So we have to be humble for the fact that it took them quite a few years to get animal models to where they are today. And it will take time also for the animal-free methods to reach the same kind of deliverables as the animal methods do. But it would go faster. It would go a lot faster than what science been producing earlier on.
We talk about alternative, but they are not per se alternative, right? So how do we, overcome the uncertainties when there is a new method coming up as compared to animal model?
We have to compare them. We have to continue to compare them. There is no replacement scientists that are keen to release a model or a method that is not proven to be correct. So you have to have standards for how these models are produced and how they are tested. The Swedish 3R Center works together with universities and other governmental agencies to produce these ones when it comes to mathematical methods and how data is compiled, for example. So at a European level, you put a standard of how these methods are to be produced. And once they once we have a standard, it will become easier also for them to evolve and to be used.
The OECD has validated the methods at that international level. Is there any cooperation directly at national state with the OECD, or you go through the EU again?
We always go through, in Sweden, all the corporations go through the chemical agency that we have in Sweden, and those are also the ones that we are cooperating with for the OECD testing. Then you have pan-European organizations or projects that are also working towards OECD to enhance the process there. And there we're also involved.
And you're also involved in several initiatives at the European level, such as PARC or PEPPER. Can you tell us more about it?
PEPPER is for the pre-validation of alternative methods. So to enhance the process of having a method validated, the PEPPER project gathers methods from member states and evaluates them and takes the most promising candidates and highlights them for further testing on European level so that they can be validated. And PARC is governmental cooperation for our part. PARC is huge and it consists of so many different legs, but we are part of the governmental corporations. We have a replacement network in Sweden that is hosted by the 3R Center to make sure that we also channel the information out to the industry and universities and everyone who's working with these animal-free methods. that these are projects that are going on, and we need the information, we need your ideas to be able to highlight them for the right partners and different organizations and projects that are on a pan-European level to make sure that these methods are further on validated.
And we talk a lot about replacements, but you just mentioned reduction and refinement. What is going on there in Sweden?
In Sweden, we have one of our core projects that started a few years back, and that was how to hold group house male mice efficiently and to make sure that they are not more aggressive than necessary. That was also work that we done exactly in the same way as we do with the policy document for replacement. We actually went out to all the organizations in Sweden that are working with mice, that are the top 10 users of mice, and had a workshop together with them to actually find out how do they do it to make sure that it becomes the best way. Then we use that material as a base for finding the scientific proof and all the articles and all the data for what is best for male housing. And then we produced recommendations of how to use it. So that will also be a scientific report later on. So that one will develop into two different deliverables. We have one now that is the recommendations and the basis for the recommendations, and that is a scientific compilation. And then we also do a scientific article for the compilation of the information. Then we do the same thing for fish. So for marking and tagging fish. So, and that was a report that was made in a manner that it can actually be directly handed over to someone who is going to work with marking and tagging fish, where we tell about all the different methods that, based on what they are going to use the scientific data for, what kind of tagging might be the best, how difficult are they to perform, so that they can find like a roadmap to find the best method for tagging and marking of fish. So we also have one report for the marking and tagging of fish that is a user guide to be able to mark and to tag fish. And that is when you are physically going to come in contact with the fish. Then there are also other projects in Sweden where we are not involved, but where they're actually using AI nowadays to get the data for the fish and how it is moving. And that has an environmental impact, because in Sweden, and I believe it is the same in all member states, that you can actually get a court order that if you are going to build this dam, if you are going to build this road, and you're actually going to interfere with the environment and the animals that are living there, the court can oblige you to monitor wildlife and the impact your plan has on your development has on the animals. And in Sweden, there is one organization that works together with a university where they're actually using AI to identify the fish. So in the first phase they are now in, they are learning AI to calculate and to recognize the fish species. Phase two, they are supposed to learn the AI method to recognize the fish. That is like the final step of that project. So they are evolving it, and then they don't have to be near the fish. They don't have to touch the fish. They don't have to trap it. The fish simply has to pass the camera. And then they are supposed to be able to recognize the species, where it's been before, health status of the fish as well. So the journey from recognizing a fish to belong to a particular species, that's where they are at the moment, to recognizing the specific individual of fish, that's the end of the project. And that is one of the projects that that we follow to be able to see how they actually evolve and develop. So that is one way to use AI that we didn't believe in even 4 or 5 years ago.
That's a very interesting example. Well, we still need animal, unfortunately, in science. But did you see the number of animal reduce lately for research purposes, given the fact that the definition of animal use in Sweden is a bit broader than the European definition? I guess it's a bit hard to give data, but where do we stand?
You can see a drop sometimes, or in a few years you can see a drop, but that is mainly due to the fact where different scientific projects are in their evolution. So it might be a project that has an ethical approval that is not constantly using animals, but has a lap of 2 years where they take care of the data. So therefore, I can't really say that we have, at this particular moment, a slope downwards for the animals used. We see a certain kind of decrease, but we can't really say that it will be permanent. Also, the impact of the science that has been produced due to the COVID will have a peak. So it will take a few years before we can actually say that, well, there is a downward trend in how many animals that are used. But then if you look at the amount of science that is produced and done, we do more science. We might be using less animals in each and every science project, but science is broader today than it was 10 years ago.
Do you think one day we'll be able to phase out animal testing fully?
According to the European definition, and also for the medical industry, because they have a financial incitement to actually move away from animal testing. There, I believe, we can move away from it. But in Sweden, where we have the definition that also science that is made for the animals, for the animal welfare, those are animals used for scientific purposes in Sweden. And those ones we can never leave behind. They will always be there, but they will be there for their own survival and medication and treatment. But I believe there will be certain industries that will phase out animal trials before other industries do it.
Thank you, Jessica. I think we learned a lot today about what's going on in Sweden, about the legislation, about all the change going on, and what you're doing to promote alternative methods. Is there anything you would like to add at the conclusion?
That it is a lot of things that are happening. And I'm amazed at the quality and the speed that science is producing. And I'm also humble for the fact that scientific research been done for years, and we sort of didn't know about it, but we never would have been able to handle the current pandemic if it wouldn't have been for all our scientists believing in science. And this pandemic, one thing it done is actually to open up the doors for the replacement R to refinement and reduction, so that they were able to actually start to cooperate. They were forced to start to cooperate. And that is something I think we should remember, that scientists actually gathered and everybody that could do something for the future actually did it at the moment. They didn't care about what R they were working within. They were working for science, and science did deliver. So what we do, a lot about spreading information about the three R's, were enabled and enhanced due to the pandemic as well.
Thank you very much, Jessica. It was a pleasure talking to you.
It was very nice to be here as well. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you wish to learn more about the 3R centers and the alternatives to animal testing, check out our website, academy.altatox.be. You enjoyed this podcast? Please leave a review on Facebook and other social media.